the book of Exodus, and today the title is On Eagle's Wings, and the passage is Exodus chapter 19, which comes right before the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him on the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Do you know all the Ten Commandments? Do you memorize all the ten of them? First, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any idols in the form of anything. The third is, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And the fourth is, keep the Sabbath holy. And the fifth is, honor your father and mother. Sixth, do not murder, and do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, and do not covet your neighbor's belongings or the neighbor's wife. So those are the Ten Commandments. But these Ten Commandments, they may sound harsh, negative, narrow, legalistic, cold, confining, and burdensome. All these negative connotations attached to the Ten Commandments. And they may sound so when it is taken out of context. But we can see their true meaning when we see the Ten Commandments in its proper context. And as we know, cults are very good at taking the Bible verses out of the context and arranging them in a way to fit their own message. When you take verses out of the Bible, out of context, you can get the Bible to say anything you want. And that's what the cults are very good at. And that's why it's important to read the whole books, the whole book of Genesis, the whole book of Leviticus, or the whole book of Exodus, to see the big picture, or to see the big context. And the right context for the Ten Commandments are God's tender love for His people. Before God gives them the Ten Commandments, God says to Moses, and Moses is to tell, he says, this is what you are to say to Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And that's the context. The context is what God did to Egypt, and how God brought Israel on eagle's wings. What did God do to Egypt? God has seen, God has heard, and God knows the suffering of His people as slaves in Egypt. So God sends Moses to lead His people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And God shows His mighty power by bringing the 10th plague upon Egypt. But God does not bring the same plague upon the land of Goshen, where the Hebrews are living. And the 10th plague was the most severe. It was the death of all the first male born sons of Egypt, and even the firstborn male of all the animals. And you know, we read that and we think, wow, God is this God of the Old Testament seems so cruel. You know, these firstborn sons of they're innocent, they haven't done anything. You know, why are they being killed for the sake of his people? But this is why context is important. But if you look at Exodus chapter 1, there is a Pharaoh that does not know Joseph. And he sees these slaves increasing in number, and he tries to suppress their growth by putting them into slavery, harsh slavery. But still, the Israelites keep growing. So his second attempt to suppress their growth is to have all the male born Hebrews thrown into the Nile River. So it's a huge massacre of all the Hebrew baby boys. And you know, all the Hebrew families lost their first born boys, maybe except for Moses' family, was a survivor. So God was merely punishing the Egyptians for what they did, for their atrocities. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That was the Old Testament law. And so God was giving back to them exactly what the Egyptians had done to the Hebrews. So it was God's judgment. God didn't do it on an arbitrary whim, but it was God's exact punishment, God's execution of justice. So that's how God displayed his sovereignty and power through the 10 plagues. And when did God carry his people on eagles' wings? Now, we all know how eagles train their little eaglets to fly. You know, when the eaglets are old enough, the mother eagle takes the eaglet out of its comfortable nest, and she just drops the poor little eaglet on the sky, and the flying, and it's like, "Mom, please help me." And when the eaglet is about to hit the ground, the mother eagle swoops down and rescues the eaglet with strong claws. And then she goes back up on the sky and she drops it again. And that's how they learn. It's the Spartan method of training. It's harsh. But that's how they learn how to fly. So when did God ever swoop down like an eagle to rescue his people from imminent danger or from imminent death? Does anybody recall from the story of Exodus? When was the time that Israelites were, you know, about to die in the desert? Anybody? The Red Sea, right? Yeah, that's right. The Red Sea, right? So they were traveling in the desert, and they came to a place near Pi Hath Hefro, where people were hemmed in by the mountains or the cliffs of the desert, and there was the sea on the other side. There was only one way in and one way out. And when Pharaoh learned that the Hebrews were heading in that direction, Pharaoh thought, "Found Moses is stuck. He can't get anywhere." So he takes his army and he pursues the Israelites. And when the Israelites see the army approaching, they are terrified. Their only choice is either to die in the sea or die by the swords of the Egyptians. And there was no way out. And that's when Moses says, "Be still and see the salvation of God today." And that's all they could do. They couldn't do anything. They just had to stand still. And God really, literally came down like an eagle to rescue them. You know, God split the Red Sea, and he let his people walk through the Red Sea on dry land. So God did come down to rescue them like an eagle. But carrying his people on eagle's wings means more than just that one-time rescue. It took a while for them to get to Mount Sinai from Egypt, and several things happened in their journey toward Mount Sinai. When people grumbled against Moses and Marah because the water was too bitter, God turns the bitter water into sweet water for his people to drink. When people grumble about not having any meat to eat, God sends quail, and the quail just filled the whole camp so they could have some meat. And in the morning, God begins to send the manna, the bread of heaven, to feed his people in the desert. And at Rephidim, the Hebrews grumbled again because there was no water. And God tells Moses to strike the rock with his staff, and water gushed forth from that rock. And also at the same place, in Rephidim, the Israelites were attacked by the Amalekites, who were more powerful than the Hebrews. And yet God fought for them, and the Amalekites were defeated. So God rescued them from their enemies as well. So God's telling his people, God's telling Moses, before you give them the Ten Commandments, can you remind them how I saved them, how I have protected them, how I have provided for them, how I have fought for them and guided them through the desert? Can you remind them that it's all because I love them? It says, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God brought his people to himself because God longed for his people. And he delighted in his people. God loved his people so much that he wanted to enter into a covenant relationship with his people and to build a tabernacle, to build a tent, to dwell with, to live with his people. And that is the context in which these Ten Commandments were given. The Ten Commandments are not to make our lives miserable. They were not given to burden us. The Ten Commandments were given to us because of God's love for us. They are for our good, for our benefit. When you read the book of Proverbs, you will notice that the first seven chapters are addressed by King Solomon to my son. It's like a father writing a letter to his beloved son. So my son could literally be his own son, or it could be any young man. Whether it's a son or not, we can tell that the Proverbs were written with a father's heart. A father's heart who wants the well-being of his own son. For instance, Proverbs 3 begins like this. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. King Solomon shares some truth he learned in his life with his beloved son. And they are more than just good advices. They are commands to be kept. And the father wrote these for the son so that his son will prolong his life and prosper. Exodus tells us that 10 commandments were written directly by God's finger. All the other laws were written by Moses, but the 10 commandments were written by God directly upon the tablets of stones. And these were written with a father's heart for his beloved children. God wrote them for the benefit of his people. And so Solomon's heart reflects God's heart. Keep my commands in your heart, where they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. You know, all fathers can agree that we want what is best for our kids. You know, we want our kids to succeed and to prosper. and to enjoy life. And that's what the Father wants for his people as well. That's what God wants for his people. The Ten Commandments were given for our good. They were written to give us life. They were written for our prosperity. They were written by God to protect us from the destructive effects of sin in this world. They were written for us to know what is right and what is wrong. They were written for us so that we can become what God intended us to be, a kingdom of priests, people who represent God to others and people to God. Many Psalms express their delight in the law of the Lord. Now, how can anybody delight in the Ten Commandments? You know, I've never seen anybody who says that, oh, my favorite verse in the Bible is the Ten Commandments. I've never seen that. How can you delight in the law? But the authors of Psalms and some Old Testament figures, they did take delight in the Ten Commandments, because they saw that they were written with the Father's loving heart. They rightly understood the commands as expressions of God's love. And you know, we do this as well as parents. We tell our kids to look both ways when they cross the street. And when our little kids are playing, we tell them not to go outside the fence, because we want to protect them from the cars that might hit them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses tells us that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. And then he says that this command is to be put on our hearts, and that we are to impress them upon our kids, that the parents are to talk about them at home, or when they're walking on the road, they're lying down or getting up. We are to put that command upon the walls of our houses and on our gates. How are we to love God? How are we to show our love to God? And that is the Ten Commandments. So I think the command to impress this command upon children and to write them on our houses. God is saying that teach your children the Ten Commandments. Impress the Ten Commandments on your own heart. Keep them in your heart. And then that's how we are to show our love to God. Now, back in the 16th century, during the Protestant Reformation, many Protestant leaders wrote new catechisms to educate their church members when their young young adults wanted to get baptized. They had to go through at least a year of catechism. You know, there were instructions, teachings about basic doctrines of Christianity and basic Christian living. And most of the Protestant catechisms contained the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer, because the leaders felt that the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer were two important guides for Christian living. How do we live as Christians? We look at Ten Commandments and we look at the Lord's Supper. They give us guides as how we are to live as God's people. And the purpose of the catechisms was to impress God's law upon people's hearts before their baptism. And the Ten Commandments are what we are to teach our children and our new believers. But they're not just for our kids and new believers. They are for all of us. They are for all Christians. They serve as a guide to holy living. In keeping the Ten Commandments, we can become a holy nation. We can become a kingdom of priests. In keeping the commands, we will share God's blessing with the nations. So let's not think of the Ten Commandments as something that is burdensome, but let us see God's love. Let us see it in this proper context. Let us see God's love. And let us respond to his love. And we can say, God, I love you, and I will obey your commands because of your salvation, and because I love you as well. Let's pray.